Okay, this past Friday, as a Rosh Chodesh Adar celebration, the yeshiva, DRS, brought in a kosher hypnotist, a man who advertised himself as a kosher hypnotist, and he hypnotized several of the boys. It was very entertaining, a good time was had by all. So a few people asked, is there any issue with hypnosis in halacha? Is there any problem with using hypnosis, either in general or purely for entertainment value in halacha? So I figured we'll discuss a little bit about hypnosis. So first of all, some background. According to a website dedicated to hypnosis, I forgot already, I didn't write down the name of the website. Some of the background to hypnosis, if this information is correct, is that according to the Mayo Clinic, hypnosis is a trance-like state in which you have heightened focus, concentration, and inner absorption. Once under, you usually feel calm and relaxed, and you can concentrate intensely on a specific thought, memory, feeling, or sensation while blocking out distractions. Meaning your koach hadimyon, your ability to imagine things, becomes much, much stronger. You relax, it's a way of training oneself or having someone train you to relax everything, to block other things out of your mind, to be able to focus in on certain feelings, on certain thoughts, and it's just a way of using your brain in a different kind of way than we're used to using our brain. It's not magic, it's like the ability to dream while partially awake. It's a way of harnessing the brain's ability to dream while partially awake. Quotes in that website from Dr. David Spiegel, the medical director of the Stanford Center for Integrative Medicine, that hypnosis is a shift in attention during which you are not as aware of things around you. That's certainly the case. If you've seen people hypnotized, they're not even aware of what's going on around them. They're seeing what the person who hypnotized them is telling them to see. They're telling them to see a movie that they're watching when there's no movie that they're watching, or whatever it might be. Why would people want to undergo hypnosis for anything other than entertainment value? So it is used in a lot of different contexts. Mental health professionals sometimes know how to do hypnosis because it helps with certain mental health disorders. So for some people, it helps them stopping smoke when they undergo hypnosis. Sometimes athletes will use hypnosis to somehow enhance their performance, to improve their concentration. Sometimes it's used to treat depression or stress management, or weight loss, or pain reduction, or all sorts of different things that people may use hypnosis to varying degrees of success, but it will be used in a variety of different ways by a psychiatrist, by a psychiatrist or a mental health professional, let's say. There are only three poskim that I found in print that discuss the issue of hypnosis. First one is the Tshuva of the Binyan Tzion and Siman Samach Zayin. The Binyan Tzion says that misaprim neflaos, people tell these wild stories, shemitoch sheina yodea mashenasa barachuk ma'omri menu, that people in a sleeping state know what's going on far away from them, umisaprim mashenasa b'chadri chadar muchadome, and they're able to tell over things that are happening in private, in far-flung places. So the first thing Binyan Tzion says is we have to figure out, is this a way of harnessing kochos hatuma that is inappropriate for a Jew to do? So he says, I asked the Chachmei Umos HaOlam, I asked scientists and doctors what the story is, and he says, Umatzasim b'deos chalukos, I found that they disagree with each other, that there is no consensus at the time of the Binyan Tzion as to what this is. Some say that it's all Sheker v'chazav, nothing is really happening, that it's all a big sleight of hand, it's all just a magic trick, nothing's really going on. In the same line he says, not that nothing's going on, but that the koach hamedame shel achola, the person's imagination just is able to go wild, the person's able to much more intensely imagine things, as if he's seeing unbelievable things. And some of them say, no, that she'emes nasu maros neflos, asher bevada yesh lo makor v'derech b'teva, that there is some natural way that these people are able to see things and do things that they otherwise would not be able to see or do, but we don't yet really fully understand the way the brain works and why it works out that way, but it is something that's real. It's not just all imagination. So he says that im kol zeh, You don't have to worry that it comes from Kol Chas HaTumik. What's Shulchan Aruch in Yardeas and Kufn and Hay? That Mutu L'Srapos HaYidei Lachash Me'Ovid Avod Zara K'Shein U'Bavadi Shemask HaShem Avod Zara Lachash. That if you have someone, an Ovid Avod Zara, who's reciting something or doing some sort of incantation as a refuah, and it works, so you're allowed to do that as long as he's not using the Shemos of Avod Zara. As long as it's even a Suffolk B'nin Sion thinks, that's good enough. And he says, "V'chein matzanu b'Rabbi Yochanan she'niach atzmo l'srapos mimatronisa nachris af shaliyada ezer refuos lo k'nir b'avod zara daf chavches." That Rabbi Yochanan apparently allowed himself to be cured by some non-Jewish woman who used some sort of refuah that he didn't really fully understand, and he wasn't choshish that she was using avod zara or kochos hatumah. So that's issue number one. Kochos hatumah, he says, I'm not worried about. Issue number two, what about tum tiyah? And again, keep in mind, his shaila is about using it for refuah, about using it for medical purposes. So he says, in terms of tum tiyah, of just being tamim with Hashem Elokecha and not relying on far-flung things, so he said, you don't have to worry about that, because anything that's mishum refuah is not a problem of darkei amori, so it's not going to be a problem of tum tiyah. So he says, we can't asr something like this, because he doesn't really see an issue neither in the Kolchas HaTumah side nor in Tamtia, so for Refuah he thinks it's perfectly fine. It should be noted that the Minchas Yitzchak Chelek Vav Simen Pei takes strong issue with the Binyan Sion on some of his points, but mostly argues on the idea of using something that has no basis in science out of concern that it relates to Avod Zara. But over here, L'chora, that would not apply to hypnosis. It does have a basis in science. They are able to explain somewhat how the brain manages to block out certain things and focus on other things. The second source that I know of that speaks about hypnosis is Ramosha. Ramosha in Yardeh Chelek Gimel Simen Mem Dalid was also asked about using hypnosis for refuah purposes, and Ramosha discusses three possible issues. Number one, is it kishuv? So he says, nah, it's not kishuv because it's a natural force. It's harnessing the natural forces of your brain, your own natural abilities. It's not an issue of kishuv. Number two, Ramosha says, maybe it's not kishuv, but maybe it's a problem. Let's say the person who's hypnotizing you is someone who violates Yisurei Torah, and he might get you to do Yisurim. So you have to be choshish that you're putting yourself in a position to violate Yisurim. When you hypnotize, you're not a Baal Bechira, so it shouldn't be a problem if you do an Yisur. It's Anos Rachman Apatre. He says, no, it's only Anos Rachman Apatre if it wasn't your fault that you were hypnotized in the first place. But if you submitted yourself to be hypnotized, and then the guy gets you to do Yisurim, it's your fault for putting yourself in that position. He says, very similar to what Tyson Baba Kama discusses, about a person who goes to sleep right next to fragile kalim that don't belong to him. So he rolls over in his sleep and he breaks them. I was sleeping, Anos Rachman Apatre, it's not my fault. Well, it is your fault. You slept right next to something that you could bring. You put yourself in that position where in your state of sleep, you're going to cause damage. So Ramosh says, if the person that's going to hypnotize you is a person who cannot be trusted not to get you to do averos, then absolutely you should not do the hypnosis. But what about if a person is the kosher hypnotist? He's someone who is very careful. This guy was very good. He knew that kids might curse if they get scared or if they were going to smelled something very terrible. So part of the hypnosis was that instead of saying a curse word, you should say the word Purim. So he said to a kid, you know, when he had them think that they were smelling something terrible, he said to the kid, what's the matter? The kid said, oh, it stinks in here. He said, what does it smell like? And the kid said, Purim. Good. So he didn't come to Nivel Peh or whatever it was. So he was very careful. He's obviously from experience knew how to avoid the various Yisurim. But Rav Moshe says there's a third problem over here. And that is, Rav Moshe says, Nirlin is Dait Yishu Zilzul Ba'atzmo. A person is not allowed to be mezalzel in themselves. They shouldn't make a fool of themselves. Just like the Gemara in Kiddushin Mem and Bey says that an Ochel Beshuk is Pasul Eidos because he's mezalzel in himself. And just like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Vav and Beis, where the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be mekabel tzedakah from Goyim, because it's humiliating to you to have to be mekabel tzedakah from Goyim. So you're not allowed to do things that are a zilzul for yourself. And that's what the Rambam writes. V'cheina b'zuyin, Rambam writes in Perek Yudalef, Halachei Avilchus Eidus, b'zuyin p'sulin le'edus midivreim, ve'ema anashim, shaholchim va'ochim b'shuk, people who eat publicly, who can go on elu shaholchim arumim b'shuk, people who walk around naked, when they're people doing lowly tasks publicly, all these things that people are not makpir on embarrassing themselves, people who have no shame, it's not a good thing to not have any shame. A person acts in a way that completely humiliates themselves. So Rav Moshe says that's an iser. So maybe for refuah purposes, it's going to be mutter, because you're allowed to be mezalzel on yourself for refuah purposes, but stam, for entertainment purposes, what's the heter to be mezalzel on yourself? It's also to be mezalzel on yourself. Third posik that I found that speaks about is Rav Shachter writes in Nefesh HaRav, page Reish Lamed Gimel, a story, it's not really a psak halacha, a story from Rav Salvechik, that they asked Rav Salvechik if you're allowed to put yourself in a hypnotic trance for leitzanos bialma, for non-therapeutic purposes. Rav Salvechik said, aser. So they said, what do you mean? Why should it be aser? It's it's not kishuv or anything like that. So the heshivam rabbeinu shedavar zeh shtushi. And Rav Shachter writes in parentheses, samach tes vav pe yodalid. Stupid. That doing this is stupid. And a person shouldn't do stupid things. It's usher to do stupid things. So the Rav Shachter goes on to say that they asked for salvation. There was a karate class in YU as one of the phys ed choices. And the sensei, at the beginning of each class, he had to bow to the sensei. Not a avodah zarah, it's just that's the minute of people who do karate. So they asked Rav Salvechik if you could bow to the sensei. He said, no, it's aser. They said, what do you mean? It's not a avodah zarah, you're not bowing to me. It's just that's the way people... He said, no, but it's stupid, and you're allowed to do things that are stupid. That was Lashitasa, that he held that it's stam stupid, that you shouldn't do stupid things. Okay, so if that's the issue, very similar to Ramosha's zilzel ba'atzmo, but it's even... more machmir. Moshe zilzel ba'atzmo is if the hypnotist is going to get you to do things that are thoroughly embarrassing. To just stam, go under hypnosis for entertainment, he just thought that was a stupidity. It was stam and narishkeit. Even if he's not going to get you to do things that are completely embarrassing. So nafkamina would be like, what if you have a situation where he's not going to get you to do something that embarrassing? This guy tried to be machmir that people shouldn't do something terribly embarrassing. What if you have situations where maybe it's acceptable to do things that are embarrassing? The Gemara talks about to be Mesameh Chasen V'Kala, what the Gedolei Amoraim would do to be Mesameh Chasen V'Kala, things that were probably beneath their normal dignity, to be juggling fire and things like that, or L'Kavod HaShechina, by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, or maybe Yom Purim. Yom Purim, we dress up in costumes that are ridiculous and we do all sorts of embarrassing things. So maybe for Simchas Purim, it's a little bit of a stretch to bring it to Rosh Chodesh Adar, but maybe. As one of the Rebbeim said, halavai, this should be the biggest busha that the boys ever subject themselves to. Unfortunately, we don't have this sense of self-respect that we don't want to be mevaza ourselves. But it's an important union in general that we should try to carry ourselves with a sense of self-respect and not to do things or put ourselves in a position where we do things that are very embarrassing. It was very funny and very entertaining, I have to say, but still somewhat questionable, at least according to our salvation. Probably according to Ramosha also, when it's not for therapeutic purposes, whether you're allowed to do it. If it is for therapeutic purposes, it would seem that everyone would say that it is completely permissible. Okay.